Say hello to old friend Paul Kingor, Dr. Paul Kingor. He won't want me to call him doctor, though. Author of so many good works, including The Devil and Karl Marx, and now The Devil and Bella Dodd. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, because we're still in Christmas time to you, Paul.
Yeah, same to you, Mike. And, please, no need to call me doctor. Paul is fine, and if you look at my email the last couple weeks, I've been called far, far, far worse. Paul is good. Good.
I want to start off here, not on the book, because I read your story from start to finish on air that you wrote for Crisis about the Immaculate Reception. It made me tear up at the end. It was so good. So good. You lived that story.
Yeah, I did. I mean, so at the time, I was only 6 years old, right? But I remember it, and, you know, here in Western Pennsylvania, you know, football is like a religion. I mean, it really is. And the connections with Catholicism and the Pittsburgh Steelers franchise are pretty deep. In fact, the owner was Art Rooney Sr., who was lifelong, very devout Catholic, daily communicant. He started the team. He got the team, bought the team in 1933. And the team for almost 40 years was not good. I think they made the playoffs, I don't know, maybe. I don't know if they ever made it at all.
I don't think they did at all. I think that was part of the lore.
Yeah. Right, right. No win. They had a few winning seasons, never made the playoffs. It's ironic, Mike, because, you know, everyone knows it as the Steel City, right? The Iron City. And you know, now everybody associates football, right, almost with the Steelers, the Steel Town. And so you have this tough city that had this crappy football team for all these years. It kind of didn't make any sense. And you could even see it in movies, films. I don't know if you ever, you probably did. You saw The Deer Hunter in the 1970s.
Yep.
That movie. And, you know, that was filmed out of Clareton, the Clareton Works in Pittsburgh. And these guys are drinking Rolling Rock beer, which is out of Latrobe, which is the home of St. Vincent College, which is where the Steelers training camp is. You know, they're shooting pool. They're talking about the Steelers. They're shooting deer. They're going off to Vietnam. But the team had never been any good. And then Chuck Knoll came in and drafted Terry Bradshaw, Terry Hanratty, Joe Green, the other players. In 1972, they drafted Franco Harris. They get to the playoffs, and they're went up against the big, bad Oakland Raiders, who were really, really good. There's something like 30 Hall of Famers between those two teams. It was unbelievable.
Right, right.
And that game was, you know, was just an incredible game. And I got mostly positive email about that article, but I did get one from one sourpuss Catholic who I almost responded to him and said, "Are you from Cleveland by chance, sir?" Right? But this guy was furious with me that I thought that this blasphemous term was okay. And I wanted to tell him, lighten up, man. You know, they didn't call it the Immaculate Conception catch. They called it the Immaculate Reception. And, you know, it's the month of December, the month of the Immaculate Conception. And I think kind of like the Hail Mary, too. I think it's nice that you know the Blessed Mother has this cultural role in football. And I can't tell you how many Protestants over the years have said to me, "Hey, yeah, the Immaculate Reception. Explain to me, what's the Immaculate Conception?" Right? I mean, it's actually been an opportunity to do that. So it was a really neat thing here in Pittsburgh for 50 years running.
Well, just the way you wrote the story about the people that went to the bar, and then the guy said, "I propose a toast to the Immaculate Reception." You know, the thing that I gave a talk at the St. Benedict Center in 2019. It's one of my favorite ones of all time. And Brother Andre was a little skeptical of it because he didn't know how he was going to pull it off. But I gave a talk about how stop whining about people in sports using the term the Hail Mary, and I'm going to show you why. And I just pretty much said what you said, but I was saying, let me take you back in time, because there are other instances. People forget these things. When Mark Bavaro caught a touchdown pass in Super Bowl 33 or 34, and he had planned this out in advance. He caught the ball, crossed the goal line, pretended like he was going to spike it, and then dropped down to his right knee, as the old choir boy or altar boy that he was, and signed himself, and then dropped the ball on the field and walked off.
Yeah. Well, and the reason for the phrase in football, Hail Mary, is because Roger Staubach, the great quarterback from the Cowboys, flung that ball in the air, got nailed, fell to the ground, and what did he do? He said, "I said a quick Hail Mary." and then the guy caught the ball. So it was named Hail Mary because of that. And the fact that everyone else henceforth has called it that, like our great sports announcer, Myron Cope, who is Jewish, said in Pittsburgh when he announced that phrase on television here about the Immaculate Reception, he said, "I mean no offense by that. I don't mean to, you know, insult anybody's piety or religious beliefs. It was a cute, funny thing, and most Catholics around here, in fact, I've never met one who doesn't like it. You know, they all got a giant kick out of it."
Yep.
And ever since, have just thought it's a beautiful thing, a funny thing.
And as you said, Paul, and I love and I respect, and I just echo the phraseology of what you said. Our Blessed Mother's holy name and the act of her Immaculate Conception and her prayer, the Hail Mary, have made their way into football. That's in a positive, beautiful sense. No one prays for a Hail Mary for a guy to get crowned, a hit, and a targeting call.
Yeah, no, that's right. And by the way, I've got to tell you this, Mike, because I didn't know this when I wrote the Crisis Magazine piece. I found it out later, but I wrote that piece about a week before the 50th anniversary, and it was before Franco Harris died. Quite shockingly, Franco died just a few days before they were going to honor him with the football game. And it was NFL Network threw together one of its fantastic football life documentaries, and they did it on Franco Harris. And Franco Harris said on that documentary, and I've since found him saying it two or three times, that the moment that the Immaculate Reception happened, His mother and two brothers and father were watching the game on television. Now, his mother was Italian. She's from Italy. She was born in Italy. He had a black father in the military, World War II, from New Jersey. And the mother was so nervous about the game, she had to stop watching. So she went into the other room and put on one of her favorite Christmas record albums. And I'm not making this up. Franco actually said this. The album started playing... Started playing Ave Maria at the very moment that ball bounced off of Frenchie Fuqua and landed in Franco's hand. Now, how could you make that up? I mean, that is absolutely unbelievable. So, who am I to doubt this wonderful football prophet at the tavern in Pittsburgh? You know, Michael Lord, who in this moment of divine inspiration lifted up his Iron City beer and said, "A toast to the feast of the Immaculate Reception," right? All hail! All hail!
All hail! No, it was, as I said, it made all of us kind of misty-eyed, just because most of us, when I was reading your story in Crisis, didn't know all of those details. And just the one detail, and we'll talk about the book now, that I added from my own personal experiences. In the 1990s, when I was coming up in radio, and I started in 1992, somewhere over 1993 or 1994 or so, and I don't remember the occasion. It was probably in Fredericksburg, or I was probably visiting with my brother. And we were listening to a Redskins game on the radio, and this guy comes on as a guest from the Steeler Network. And I never forget this. And I'm like, this guy can't be in broadcasting. He doesn't have the voice for it. Myron Cope. But I love the heats. But he said exactly what he thought about the game, and he inspired me. Him and a local host here in New Orleans, Buddy Deliberto. They don't make broad sportscasters like Myron and Buddy D anymore.
No, they don't. They don't. And they had annoying voices.
Yes,
they were very intelligent. And if you listen to what they said. And the voice was so distinctive, right, that it made them memorable. I mean, he invented the terrible towel. And yeah, I could still remember Myron Cope. the terrible towel is poised to strike, and so are the Steelers, right? And so I remember him singing a Christmas song when the Steelers were playing the Browns. He got on WTAE TV and sang about Art Modell's Cleveland Browns, and he sang, deck the halls with Modell's meatballs, la 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 la. And you watch this, and you can't believe what you're seeing. They probably never let the guy on nationally, but it was, there aren't sportscasters like that anymore,
no.
But they used to be like that, such colorful characters in local markets. You know, Bob Prince here in Pittsburgh, Mel Allen in New York, right, a Southern boy up there in New York. You're welcome to This Week in Baseball. Red Barber from the South in New York. They were great characters.
Yeah, and of course, you know, the great Rush Limbaugh was inspired by Harry Carey.
Right.
Grew up listening, and I forget who the guy was on in St. Louis, but Harry Carey was one of them on KMOX radio. He had the, you know, that's how you get this old style, even though Rush kind of updated it. The sportscasters were already doing it. Myron Cope had already done it before Rush did it, and so had many of these other guys. All right, Paul Kingor.
Vin Scully died.
Oh, you remember the Vin Scully? Only almost got
very devout Catholic.
Yes, and he got kicked off of NBC TV, didn't he?
I think he did for something. Yeah, but he ended up broadcasting Dodgers games, right? The Dodgers for what, 50, 60 years?
Yeah,
until he just died last year.
Yeah, Vin Scully was another one of those great ones.